We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice because our Lord and Savior, who was crucified, Jesus Christ, now lives victoriously upon the earth where he reigns from heaven above. And Lord, we pray that at this moment, as we engage you in your word, that you would move and work in our hearts and bring about transformation in us through the gift of your Holy Spirit, which you have given to us, the Spirit who helps to illuminate the Scriptures, to help us to ingest these Scriptures deep into our minds, into our hearts, and into our souls. And so, Lord, we praise you that you have preserved your living word in our midst. And we pray, Lord, that we would be inspired to engage you and speak with you and talk to you through that word which you have preserved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, self-absorption is nothing new under the sun. Part of our old nature, we saw it all the way back with Adam and Eve, is since the fall, all of us have a propensity to be navel-gazers, to be self-absorbed, and to think everything is about you. There will be some who will be shocked today when they hear that the world does not move around you. We'll let you gasp for a moment. We're not all just characters living in your world. Aren't we lucky, right? That's not the perspective. But what is new is the millions of messages and marketing today that wants to encourage you to be more about you. When they try to sell you something, it's all about you. And in this way, we have more air being blown into our egos today than maybe any other time in all of known history. So how do we wrestle with this tension between an all-knowing God and a world that believes they know everything? This is what St. Paul is going to help us look at today, but I want to begin first with an illustration in honor of the NFL season about to start pretty soon. And as a Cowboy fan, I believe that this is our year. But I'm not going to talk really about any Dallas Cowboys. I want to start with two players to compare and contrast. There was a great, great, great running back for the Detroit Lions named Barry Sanders. This guy was like watching a ballerina on the field. He could make people miss him in places where you thought he was going to be tackled. I remember one tough game against the Dallas Cowboys. One player on the Dallas Cowboys missed Barry Sanders three times on one play. And when Barry Sanders would go down the field and score a touchdown, do you know what he would do? He would run to the ref and give the ref the ball and exit the field. Done. I want to compare and contrast him with another NFL player by the name of Terrell Owens. Let's just say he played for the 49ers and had a short stint with the Cowboys, but we'll leave him with the 49ers. I remember him one time making an incredible catch, running down the field, just like Barry Sanders ran down the field, scoring a touchdown, and then immediately running off the field, grabbing a fan's $20 thing of popcorn, and dumping it into his helmet as if he was eating it. And all the while, the camera's following him, and it zeroes in on him. He gives what's left of his popcorn back to the fan and looks into the camera and says, "I love me some me. I love me some me." That is a great textbook poster child definition of self-absorption. We live in a world where we are drunk on ourselves. And there's all sorts of phrases slurred from that kind of condition in our lives, like, I love me some me, or another popular one today is, you do you, or follow your heart. Please don't say that one to me. If you do, please duck, because I'm swinging, right? One of the negative impacts, there are many, but one of them in this world and in this culture of self-absorption is that we continue to elevate ourselves higher and higher with seemingly no limit. And at the same time, we're raising ourselves, we're lowering God, either below us or believing for some mistaken reason that God is on the same level as we are. There's people who live and believe, Christians, who believe they are a peer with their Creator, that they stand toe to toe. It's more and more prominent these days. You see, because the higher we go, the lower we bring Him, well, then the more we believe we have a say and we can correct God and clarify with God how He could be running the world a little bit better. If He would only follow our advice, it would be so much easier on Him. Now, it sounds silly, but it's true, and you hear it all over the place in culture and in life and in schools and in colleges today. So I want to share this really silly example with you. Think of a drill sergeant. Everybody has some image in their mind of what a drill sergeant is, right? And most of us would know, whether you've been in boot camp or not, that you're probably not going to the drill sergeant so that he might boost your self-esteem. Drill sergeants aren't known as being encouragers. Well, I guess you could if you used the term loosely. But let's imagine this. Here I am, 1991, true story, in boot camp in Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma. Can you imagine what it would have been like if I observed the drill sergeant doing something and I said, excuse me, drill sergeant, you did that incorrectly. How do you think that would go? I can guarantee you this, it would only go once, right? Or how about this? Hey, drill sergeant, I know you just barked out a lot of orders for me, but you know what? You do you, I'll do me, drill sergeant. How's that going to work? Well, today it probably would, but the military's changed. Or, hey, drill sergeant, I don't want to get up at 3 a.m. in the morning. That's not what makes my heart happy. So let me sleep in and just let me know when the bus gets here to take us to the range because my heart likes shooting guns and that's really all I'd like to do, right? This is not how it works and we can laugh and laugh and laugh because we know how silly it is to think of some basic trainee operating and interacting with a drill sergeant in that way. Yet it's the very same thing we have done so often with God Himself. You know, the God who was on Mount Sinai, who struck terror in the hearts of His people Israel, and none of them wanted to go up the mountain. They said, Moses, you go for us. We'll stay right here. There was a fence around the mountain, and they were warned not to come up with Moses. And if they transgressed that fence and went past it, God warned them, I will strike you down and you will die. This kept the people a little fearful of God and more particularly His holiness, and they're not approaching it without the forgiveness of sins. But today it seems as if this sort of fear and respect that He is the Creator I am the creature, he is God, and I am not, is almost completely lost in the minds and the hearts of people, even Christians today. We continue to think that we can sit across the desk from him and mediate or broker a deal for ourselves or talk to God and say, you know, this is wrong in all of these lives, but God has granted me an exception. I'm special. I'm his favorite, right? This is the way that we often talk about it. But I want you to think about this. Romans 11, verses 33 to 36. Paul is writing this kind of, there's a group of chapters 9 through 11 in Romans when there's some confusion on behalf of the Jews that Gentiles are somehow being included into this chosen race that they thought was only them through the person of Jesus Christ. So there was a little confusion, a little misunderstanding as to what was happening. And here is what Paul says. Chapter 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. As Paul helps us to better understand the difference between God and us, we begin to see that there is indeed a part of God and a way in which he acts in the world which is beyond our understanding. Things happen in this life, and we don't always know the why behind it. And there is this part of God that is called his hidden will. It's a place you and I aren't capable to enter into. Which is why God also reveals himself to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Scriptures. What God desires for you and me to know about him, about his work in the world, is revealed completely through the person of Christ and Scripture. And what is not to be revealed to us is also not to be known by us. Here's a summary of what Paul is saying. You'll never know all that God knows. God has no peers, which includes you and me. He lacks absolutely nothing. All there is, he has made. Said another way, you are not God, and he will never answer to you. Your vision, my vision, and understanding is at best severely stunted. You are dependent upon him. I am dependent upon him, whether we like it or not. He is God. We are not. And when he moves in a way that we don't understand, in that hiddenness that's beyond our comprehension, we are left to trust in him who is the source of infinite goodness, faithfulness, and mercy. And we also are to trust in that which he has revealed to us through the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has revealed to you and to me that we are to humble ourselves before Jesus Christ. That we are desperately in need of what he came into the world to deliver, which is salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and new life and eternity with him. This is what we cling to. This is what we trust. Why? Because it is what God in His wisdom has decided to reveal to you, to me, and to all the world through His Scriptures. And it's that which we cling to. Every day of our lives, God is at work in us through His Spirit to help us become less and less and less full of ourselves so that we might be more and more full of Him. And so we come before Him. We bow a knee at the railing before Him. We humble ourselves before Him, knowing that we are in desperate need of the grace only He can give to us. And in our receiving it, by His strength we rise, that we might live anew in the abundant life that He has given to us. We have an option. We can be a little bit more like Barry Sanders and be sober and silent, or we can continue to be beyond Terrell Owens and being loud and proud. It's my hope for myself, for you, and for all of us that might be a little less us and a lot more Him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, while You do great things through us, we are indeed Your vessels. Lord, You have called us to never exalt ourselves, but to lower ourselves in service to You and to others. Lord, remind us that we are nothing apart from You. It is through You and Your power and Your grace and Your strength that we begin to see our minds transformed and no longer conformed to the ways of this world. Lord, if we are to glory in anything, Lord, as St. Paul says, let us glory in the cross of Christ. For none of us should ever see ourselves as higher than being at the very foot of that cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.